Hey, I'm J.E. This is session two of Busters, Blasters, and Blammers, Reaching the Next Generation. We are here at the Beeson International Center on the campus of Asbury Theological Seminary. We are at Ministers Conference. And in this second session, we're going to continue and move more towards looking at a media-intensive presentation. But before we do that, I wanted again to hit it another time from a different perspective. Ron Hutchcraft has written an excellent book. It's come out in the last couple of years called Battle for a Generation. And, you know, every book that's written on intergenerational distinctions or specifically things that deal with Gen X or blasters and blammers, you know, there's stuff that you take and you leave. But the thing that I found very amazing in here is that what he does is he takes all these years of experience of ministry and uses that as his filter of all the things that he's heard to come up with 12 sentences that really define this generation. And so what I wanted to do is just quickly run through those for you, again, giving it to you just another time from a different angle. And so these are 12 things that Ron Hutchcraft has said, but you probably know them or you experience them if you are an Xer, but loneliness is their heart condition. And we said that before, and one of the shaping forces in the area of family that they feel all alone, but loneliness is their heart condition. And more than any other generation, they experience this emotion of loneliness. And a lot of times we look at personality types, and there are some people that are wired up to be more loners and quiet. But rarely have we ever seen a whole generation personify such a condition. Also, another sentence that is used to describe is that relationships matter most to them. All right, it is not rational truth. It is not gimmicks. It's not programs. But it is relationships. That is probably the thing that drives them more than any other generation. We also see that music is their language. Of course, we've mentioned they talk in terms of TV lines and movie lines, but music is their language. And this isn't just, that's the teenagers, that's the new generation type of thing. This is just their whole orientation. We started seeing those shifts, of course, in the 50s with music on the radio and in the 60s and 70s, but I've rarely ever made an extra that can operate without music that's going on. Whether they're at the gym or they're in the car or they're studying. I know that many parents are always intrigued with how they're getting any studying done with music, but music is their language. That's the area in which they talk. Self-worth is their struggle. I know the area that I plan to devote my attention for the next few years is how leaders reaching the next generations deal with and overcome failure. And this generation feels like they're a failure. They've been told they were failures. They're slackers, the losers. They're the going nowhere type of generation. They heard that from the boomers. And they just really have taken that to heart. And their self-worth is something that they struggle with and something they always will struggle with, even those that are Christians. You know, they're constantly coming back. They just cannot believe, you know, that they have any self-worth and that God's grace is really for them. I mean, really, really, really. I mean, I just heard a person say to me over the phone a couple weeks ago, God really, really does? You know, and those people that are forward in their thinking, like Brennan Manning, he wrote a book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. And I got news for you. That thing is read more by Xers than any other generation because they totally relate that we're all a bunch of ragamuffins. Their self-worth is definitely a struggle. We also are going to see that they are not so interested in the cure. But give them, anesthetize those people. They want to give me something that's kind of a quick fix, and we're going to see that is really wrapped up in who they are as well. They're not long-term in their thinking, we're going to see. They're more concerned with the here and now. They know no boundaries is another sentence that Hutchcraft uses, which is true. I know that there were things that we did at Nightlight where I constantly had our sponsoring church, which we referred to as the Mother Church, coming back and saying, all right, now you got some fences up here, right? You got some boundaries. And that was really hard for me to explain to the blasters that, all right, we need to have boundaries. We need to kind of make it safe. They're like, you know, they don't like boundaries. They don't want to be fenced in and boxed in. We also will see that they want authority. This is radically different than what most people typically think. That is the reason that the Baha'i faith is the fastest growing cult in America. Even I just made sure of this statistic back in December when I looked it up on the web. And it is well over 80% of people that are coming to the Baha'i religion right now are Xers. And they are looking for ways of life that have authority, that are going to tell them this is the way it is. I mean, that's the reason they're looking to media, to sports, to music world, for people that are going to be their authority figures. And unlike boomers who rebelled against authority, especially I think when you look at blasters and blammers, they're going to be much more open to someone. If they believe you and believe in what you stand for, if you're authentic, they will follow you and they won't have a problem with authority. That's radically different than some of the older busters. Now, their now matters more than their future. They actually don't think that there's a future. Right, they're, you know, what is their future? I mean, what is their outlook on the economy? I mean, you know, what is there to look for? I mean, I'm going to manage a McDonald's someday, you know, is what one of the students here on the campus said to me. One of the high school students with her father goes to the seminary said, you know, yeah, I'm going to manage a McDonald's someday. I mean, that's my outlook. So they're really concerned with the things that are happening right now. The world doesn't interest them. Now, this might take just a moment to explain. What they're talking about here is that all the world that has to, on a holistic perspective, boomers are very, very impressed with the glitz and the glamour and the appeal, the front that's out there of a holistic understanding of the world. Xers are not really buying into that. They're really more interested in perhaps segments or parts of the world. So in turn, you will see that they will attach themselves to like the issues of the environment, and that will become their whole entire world. Or it might be affirmative action, or it might be AIDS, or some small segment. And more than any other generation, you will see that when music is their world, music really is their world. And so they're not interested in the overall big picture or the glitz and glamour, but they're interested in the things that are really gritty, really earthy, things that they can relate to, and they take that segment and that becomes their world. Commitment is really risky for an Xer and for blasters as well. They it takes them a long time to commit to something. All right, they're very skeptical. You know, they're going to look long and hard before and they probably will never sign the dotted line you know, to something, but you know, they'll be committed in their own way. Sex is expected, and it is confusing. This is wrapped up in a postmodern understanding of the way that reality is, but sex is expected. And I got news for you. It isn't any different in the church. Some of the dearest, sweetest young ladies that I know when I was doing youth ministry within the church, you know, struggle with this. I mean, it's just absolutely expected, and it's confusion. There's a very progressive, forward-thinking, even we might say liberal, movie studio that's out. It's called Sundance. Redford started it. There are a bunch of people that are into kind of kickback Western type of clothes and progressive thought. They're all out there in Colorado. But they've put together a number of movies that they are definitely targeting blasters or Gen X. And a movie that just came out last year called The Four Corners of Nowhere. I would get it and rent it if you can find it. It's just absolutely excellent. The Four Corners of Nowhere. You got a college student. He just graduated from college. For 4 years, he was a radio announcer in one of these underground type of radio stations there on campus. And he's hitchhiking, gets picked up by this guy who's going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, of all places. And the guy is having a discussion, and he asks them about relationships he's had. And he says, you know, no, I've never copulated, never cohabited. And the guy's like, wow, why? I can't believe it. He goes, too confusing, man. It's way too confusing. You know, no, it's expected, but it's confusing. So I'm not sure if Hutchcraft saw the movie, but it's really out there in films. And the last sentence that Hutchcraft uses is that these teens are post-Christian. All right. Now, this is a really interesting dynamic because even in the church, they're post-Christian in the understanding that they do not across the board accept any doctrines, any truth, any of the teachings that you find in the Word. Even kids that have been brought up, they've been so influenced by a postmodern mindset, so influenced in school, that really they are post-Christian. And so even those within our youth ministries, you need to attack it through the mindset that they don't have a Christian orientation. Let's take a small quiz called Are You Part of Gen X? Now, I downloaded this right off the internet. It's a quiz from the Handy Cyber Guide to Self-Awareness. It could take about 3 minutes to do it. If you don't have a copy, I'll give you one. But this is radically different than the first little quiz that you took because this is definitely written from a Buster perspective or an older person from Generation X. We're going to use it as a kind of a launching pad to for the rest of the morning, look at the distinctions between busters, blasters, and blammers and see that there really is a different perspective. Let's take that and we'll come back to the answers in just a moment. Let me make sure you have one. Okay, I'm going to stop you. You're probably frustrated, especially if you are not an Xer, in the fact that you didn't get everything answered. That's okay. Or if you're wired up and you're not a D on the disk indicator, you're probably freaking out as well, a melancholy person. That's all right. We're going to come to it and look. Here's the first one. The first question is, complete this sentence. My job is my life. B, undetermined at the present time. Not what I want to do forever, but it pays the bills. And B and C are the correct answers. All right. My job is my life would be a boomer statement. Okay. It's certainly not an extra statement. Then the next question. I watch Melrose Place religiously, but with irony. And answers to this, either answer is acceptable. Dennis Miller. Our generation's Lenny Bruce. That guy from Saturday Night Live, right? A pathetic has-been, too self-obsessed to realize that his incessant poop culture references, blah, 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 blah. It basically, there's no correct answer. This guy just hated Dennis Miller, and that's just, you know, and that's, you'll find that quite often among Gen X. They just will hate somebody because they hate somebody. Does anybody understand you? Correct answer is A. I mean, really understand you. Correct answer is okay, no, B. Complete this sentence, Kurt Cobain, he's the guy from Nirvana, right? The symbol of our lost generation. Look at the answer. It's C. The Gen X answer is C. A year ago it would have been B, but it is no longer the correct answer. C is a junkie who sold out to the establishment. Now let's just think about that for just a moment. Why is it C? I mean, he went and died on them, all right? Here's their hero, spokesperson for the lost generation. And he goes, and it's like it committed suicide. It's like he sold out to the establishment instead of sticking with us in our pain and our hurt. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And he gives you spruce, elm, lurch, willow, blah, blah, blah. And basically, you notice that this is a control question. There is no correct answer. And then it goes on. It gives you a huge paragraph disclaimer. It says that if you recognize that C was a reference to the Mighty Python, then you are definitely a boomer and you need to deduct points from yourself. Just, it's amazing, but that's the way that they think. Here is the next question. Barney is a positive children's programming. Evil, sickly sweet version of the Antichrist who is fooling our children into believing that people are really good at heart. Passé, even the cast of Full House is making fun of Barney. All of the answers are correct according to this Gen X quiz maker. The only magazine that truly speaks to my generation and gives you things like Rolling Stone, Spin, Wired, Spy, Golf Digest. The correct answer is G, none of the above. The popular media does not understand what my life is really like. Then here's a question about the Village People awareness scale. And as of writing for Generation X, the answer is 4. They are awful, of course, but it's fun to listen to them because of nostalgia. The next one is, identify which of the following musicians have sold out. Offspring, Green Day, REM, U2, Nine Inch Nails. Now, if you don't know who any of those bands are, then you need to get a copy of either Wired or Rolling Stone or Spin, or, you know, to find out, because, I mean, this is who they're listening to. But the answer, all answers are correct. Any musician that other people have heard of have sold out, all right? Now, this is really interesting, because just a few weeks ago, I'm going to mention to you later on in the morning about the best and newest Gen X ministry that started in the country, started at Skyline Wesleyan Church. It's called Ground Zero. It's just absolutely incredible. I mean, these people have done their homework. They were involved in youth ministry. They've really made it happen. I'll even be showing you a news clip of what was going on there. But when I was out there, I was talking to a bunch of the blammers and a few blasters that were there, and they were talking to me about music, and they were asking me all these bands, you know, do you know this band? You know Sometimes Sunday? You got no Nevermore, you know, naming all these bands, and yeah. And I could just see their, you know, the wheel spinning, and they're like, oh, well, that band sucks. We don't like that band anymore. If he knows who it is, it's no good, you know. And it was only the bands that I didn't know who they were that became, these are our new bands, man. And Brad, and they're going over, and they grab their skateboards, and they're going over into the basketball thing. And these are the only bands. If you know who they are, and even if other blammers or blasters know who they are, then they're no good. Janet Jackson was coolest, and it gives you a bunch of choices. The answer is E, when she was in Fame. Now think about her role in Fame as well, and that'll give you an insight into who they are, all right? All right, of course, she was a teen in that movie, and all the dynamics are going on in that. Who's your favorite Beatle? Now, I really dig the Beatles, but B and C are definitely the wrong answers. Of course, that's John and Paul, all right? John, Paul and George. A is still valid, all right? John Lennon, of course, all right? A martyr, he's their hero. D is okay if you say it with a smirk and kind of with sarcasm, that Ringo Starr is your favorite. E is the most correct answer, which is please. Then choose one of the following and describe in detail how it sucks. Be specific. Use examples, and they give you Family Matters, Beverly Hills 90121, Phil Collins, Political Correctness, Beavis and Butthead, Saturday Night Live, Religion, the 1980s, Michael Jackson. Notice how diverse this list is, all right, in their opinions. And then, are you a member of Generation X? A is yes. B, I think so. What is the age range? No. C is the answer. It says that if you are answered C, you're a member of Generation X, because Generation X is a conventional label used by popular media to attempt to classify people of my age into an easily definable group so they can pander us and convince themselves that they understand really who we are, which they do not. All right, well, the person who's writing this is an older Xer. I mean, he's a pure baby buster, like 29 years old. And you can pick up some of the distinctions between that and what is going on with a blaster. Let me just map this out a little bit more for you. I had an intern that was working for me. We had a number of them, but one in particular, it was about 30 years old, this guy. And there was a world of difference between his whole orientation and the 22-year-old youth pastor that I hired, named Chris Venna. I mean, because the difference between the two of them is that the 22-year-old youth pastor, I mean, his whole world and orientation was, he's never known anything but postmodernism. He's never known anything but the internet and computer and all that kind of stuff. That's really who he is. And let me give you just this real quick capsule of some of the movies that Gen X, that they like, that they relate to, that they watch. And if, I would watch every one of these if I were you. And I've broken them down to reflect busters, blasters, and blammers, because blammers might not like Empire Records or Pump Up the Volume, but older Xers do. They were movies that really were defining who they were. And if you see those movies, Breakfast Club was another movie that was defining who they were. Reality Bites, So I Married an Axe Murderer, Mike Myers' movie. He also did Wayne's World, Trainspotting, Austin Powers, Clueless. These are a number of them. And to get you into an understanding of the diversity of who we were trying to reach in Central Jersey, let me just show you a couple of clips back-to-back to show you what I'm talking about. In Central Jersey, one of the things we're going to talk to you about later on is a principle that's called not L.A., not Chicago, not New York. We were Central Jersey. And you're going to have to know who the Xer is that you're trying to reach. Well, who we were trying to reach was we had Rutgers University, we had Trenton State, equal distance on the other side, and Princeton right in the middle. These are three radically different types of people. And in turn, let me just show you the two opposite ends of the extreme. I already saw you showed you phenomenon. That was really, that was kind of connected in with the Princeton type of crowd. Now let me show you first the Trenton crowd, and then the New Brunswick crowd, and they're two radically different. One first clip is Dangerous Minds, and then I'll say something before I show you the next clip. Let's look at this type of appeal. It's just the intro to the movie.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. I really hate the trip, but I gotta know. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Ooh, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
To see 24 is one of the powerful lines that's in there. You can take the boy out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the boy. That's what Chainsaw Tom used to always say to me, one of the kids we were trying to reach from Trenton, New Jersey. And all the kids there go by names, like it was a single name. It's like Cher, it's Madonna, it's Tupac, it's, you know, Biggie Big. You know, they give themselves all these, because that they try to shrink their existence down into, they make it just one word, to, you know, because that will give them status and stuff like that. But that was the type of kid that we're trying to reach when we were down in that area. And there will be some people that will try to reach Gen X, and they will be in the inner city. And that's the kind of thing that they're going to need to point to. They're going to need to be watching films and listening to music and stuff that they relate to, and doing it through an incarnational grid. On the other end of the spectrum, to show you how diverse the crowd that we're trying to reach, would be people that would be interested in another real extra movie, especially among blasters. It's called Trainspotting. I would probably suspect that on a campus like this that probably 1%, maybe 2% of people have watched it. But if you go in my area, 98% have watched it. All right. So this is the trailer for this film that was shot over in Scotland.
Choose a job, choose a career, choose a family, choose a big television.
You're a quiet, sensitive type. A little bit crazy, a little bit bad.
Choose washing machines, cars, compact displays, and dental insurance.
You lied on your application.
Only to get my foot in the door.
What exactly attracts you to the leisure industry?
I don't know, what? Pleasure. Like, my pleasure and other people's leisure.
He's always been lacking in moral fibre.
He knows a lot about Sean Connery.
That's hardly a substitute.
Do you see the beast? Have you got it in your sights?
Clear enough, Mitch Moneypenny.
Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing junk food into your mouth.
Ben's a psycho, man. He's a mate. So what can you do?
What are you two talking about?
Football! What are you talking about?
Shopping! What's on the menu this evening, sir?
The dodgiest scam in a lifetime of dodgy scams. Choose leisure wear and matching luggage. Choose good health and a career. Choose your friends. Choose your future. Choose life.
To do Gen X ministry, especially in Europe, you really need to keep in mind this type of experience. It's like an onion. I mean, you just layers and layers and layers. There is nothing that was shown in that last clip that really wasn't the reality image type of thing that we talked about before. That image is everything to them. And that everything that was taking place. Did you notice four dudes walking across the street? That's a ripoff of the Beatles walking across Abbey Road. The Sean Connery, little stint that they did. Just that shopping. Actually, what are you guys talking about? You know, they're talking about football. We're talking about shopping. There's a whole other movie called Shopping that's actually like a sister movie to this movie, Trainspotting, that has the whole existence of the only way that they're going to get ahead is to go and they crash their cars into malls late at night and try and steal as much things as they can and get away. And it's the movie just documents, you know, this existence of this type of person. But all of the things that are unraveling there, of course, are those four issues of postmodernism, all right, the economy, family, and the other shaping force of media. All those four things are wrapped up into that movie. What I wanted to do, though, is to shift gears just a little bit to look at this Gen X form that I alluded to earlier. There's 10 issues that the Gen X form, there's about 300 plus people that are involved in this form that the Leadership Network sponsors. And I'll quickly run through these because I want to leave time enough for us to get to our webpage from Nightlight so that I can start the process of walking you through to show you some of the stuff that we did. But these 10 things, again, is another pass at looking at the foundation for ministry to Gen X is authenticity. All right, now this is so key. You better be who you say you are. They don't mind you being a boomer if you're not trying to be an Xer. All right, you need to be authentic. If you say that you believe in something, you better believe that. If you say that this is the thing that you're going to die for, that better be it. Authenticity, they're looking for people that are transparent. They don't go for the slick. They don't go for the fake. They go for real. They want what they want is for you to be completely real with them. And we're going to see that that is tied up in how you're going to reach this generation. Another thing that the forum came up with is that Xers look different than ministries to boomers, the Xer ministry. You cannot just tweak a boomer ministry and have it work with Xers. You can't just say, well, we're running a contemporary service, you know, Xers will like that. No way. They don't like the same type of music. They won't pick up on the same kind of multimedia stuff that you use. They, stuff that Willow Creek's doing with their boomers and dramas and stuff like that. It's so predictable to busters. They're like, oh, gag, there's no way. You know, the boomers that are sitting there are laughing, they're getting the jokes, or all that kind of stuff, but it's a nice, neat package for them. Versus you're going to look at the way that Xer ministries do drama or poetic readings and stuff like that. It's not a pretty thing. It's kind of messy. So you can't just tweak a boomer model and have it work. But we're going to give you keys later on how you can actually try to work the two of those together. The importance of music in this generation and its integration into a new style of worship cannot be underestimated. Their life is music. Music is everything to them. And if you're going to try to do a ministry to Xers without music, it just is not going to work. It just will not work. I don't know of a single place. I know just over 400 Xer things that are going across the country. I don't know a single one that is not utilizing music, and music is not at the core or the heartbeat of who they are. Let me move a little quicker, but stereotypes of Gen X should be dispelled, recognize instead the diversity of the generation and its alignment with biblical values. Now, some of you are probably thinking, okay, he's talked to me about train spotting, he's talked to me about dangerous mind, he's talked to me about the middle ground of phenomenon. Pastor at their church, I noticed right there in the Chapel Hill area, all three of those segments are there in Gen X. They're very diverse. You cannot put stereotypes to them and say that this is the way that they are, that you're not going to find that. You will find the diversity everywhere that you turn. Use narrative stories to communicate with Gen X. I'll just be honest with you, the presentation that I'm giving you today, I recognized who would be here, but if I was doing this just for strictly Xers, the way that I do when I'm back home, we would have none of these little PowerPoint, none of these little points. They don't want 10 points to anything, all right? Forget it. Tell me a story. Show me a movie clip, all right? Give me the process. Relate with me. Be relational. That's how they get it. And so that's all we do is we just use movie clips and video clips and stuff like that to teach for them. But the wonder is that narrative stories, narrative preaching is coming back. It's going to be, I think, the model for the 21st century in preaching. I grew up learning how to do expository preaching, and I think it's got its little groovy merits, but it doesn't work with Xers. It might be the case of Blammers, though. They're a little bit more leaning towards the propositional thing. We're going to see some of the reasons for that later on, but you need to tell them stories. That's why the Gospels are wonderful. You just tell them a story that Jesus told, or tell them the things that took place. Another thing that Gen X Forum came up with, they understood that you need to go beyond the intellectual to hands-on demonstration of the gospel. All right, they're not going to get it if it's just strictly intellectual. They are a media, multimedia intensive generation. All right, they grew up, playing Nintendo and Sega, and everything's hands-on and playing with them. You just can't talk to them about it. They won't go for it. Another important thing that the Gen X Forum came up with is the most effective Gen X evangelism will be process evangelism. All right? Process evangelism. Now, of course, we're using that to counter presentational evangelism. Four spiritual laws? No way. It doesn't work with them. Let me give you four spiritual laws. That worked very effectively among boomers and border people, when they were doing it. It's going to take a long, long time, and you got to see it as a process, not as a presentation. And you need to get in scriptures and see where that really became the case. A wonderful illustration of this is Jesus with the woman at the well. All right, it is one of the most powerful passages that you could use with Xers. First of all, it's real and it's gritty and it's nasty. We typically don't preach on its finer points when we're talking to older generations. But, Jesus told her, bring me your husband, And she slept with half the town, so she brought half the town to Jesus. Xers hear that and go, wow, really? Cool, Not like, cool, you should go out and sin boldly type of thing. But they're like, it's gritty. I mean, that was really, that's the way my existence is. And then Jesus wasn't, a drop of four spiritual law tract type of evangelism. What did he do? A little verse that's tucked in there. I never heard it preached on by anyone except for an Xer guy that I heard 2 years ago preach on this passage. Said he stayed with them 2 days. Knowing the reputation of that woman in that community, Jesus understood that it was a process and it needed to be a relationship. And he stayed with them 2 days. That's really, it's like he hung out with them. He spent time with them. The Gen X Forum also concluded that leadership paradigm for Generation X is a team, not a hierarchy, not a superstar. And I found this to be the case at Nightlight all the time, all right? Without a team, Nightlight never would have happened. And I had to get away from the structure of the mother church where it did have a hierarchy. I mean, the only time that a hierarchy was in place really wasn't when it operated like a team with a coach, which is going to be our next point. But when when I was going to take a bullet for the team, or that, I was going to be the one that was going to get called on the carpet, like a coach will take the heat, that's the way it's supposed to be. And they're not looking for superstars. And that's the reason that in youth ministries before, we had youth specialties and all these things. You had great people like Mike Iaconelli and Duffy Robbins and Scott McKees and people like this. It was pretty much, there was like the superstar youth pastor. That doesn't fly with blasters and blammers anymore. The reason is, look at who their role models are. Look at their superstars. Think about their superstars. I think probably the one who personifies probably the best that it gets is Michael Jordan. I mean, anyone that's going to make, I don't know what he's making this year. What is it, $40 million in, $47 million in endorsements, plus his $30 million in salary and all that. But you look at that character. Is that a superstar that is perfect? No, there's been gambling stuff. There's all kind. He quit. He came back. You know, he never talked junk. Now he talks a little junk. I mean, you look at them, they're superstars and they're models. They're not looking to that. They're looking for people that are human. Just a couple of more things that they came up with. Leadership development is development of lay leaders, not staff. The pastor's role is primarily as an equipper and a coach. And that is the reason at Nightlight Church, no one ever called me pastor. They call me J.E., John Edgar. I was the producer and founder of Nightlight. The Boomer Church needed to know that I was the pastor and that there would be spiritual direction, but they didn't understand that. And when you hear more about what we did, you're figure out why and the reason we never used the term like pastor. Last point is that there are no easy answers, few models, little resources, and no single place that equips people ministering to Gen X. And this is so, so true. There are few models. As I'm constantly talking, when I was talking with Tim Selleck last week in California, we were talking about, is there really any one model that you could send somebody to and say, this is the way it's done? And that really isn't the case. There's not a lot of resources out there, so you need to share. And remember, creativity is the ability to copy, all right? Youth Specialties understood that, and you're not being asked to reinvent the wheel. You're just being asked to understand the heartbeat of the next generation. And in turn, you need to share your resources. The last thing in this session that I wanted to do, though, is to show you a little bit of the world of cyberspace, designing a website, getting email, and that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to pull up our website. We've downloaded it off the net because if we're going through the net, it would take a little bit too long. But you can pop this up on the screen so that they can see it. This is the Nightlight website. Notice it's NLPAC. Well, we're poor as Generation X. We didn't have the money, but PAC is Prince Alliance Church, the mother church that sponsored the Nightlight Church plant. So we just got onto their under their access, and that's how we started out. Presently, Nightlight is going to its own thing, separate from the mother church. But basically, when kids would come onto our website, which we had. If I'm not mistaken, I went back and looked at my figures again last night. It was well over 2,000 hits on our website the first month and a half that it was in existence. And you have a little counter on your website of how many times a person signed on. We had well over 2,000 the first 6 weeks that we had, because that's where they're at. We had the opportunity to sink a lot of money into local access, and I said, you know what, none of our kids are looking at local access, you know. But they are all on the net, so let's sink our money there. So this is the Nightlight logo that we designed, and a radical approach to an ancient message. And then people would click on, and they'd say, well, what in the world is Nightlight? And so we'd give them just a little key of what it is. The guy next to me is Jigs Giglio. He was my partner in crime. He was a local rock legend. Has a unique story. I'll tell you a little bit more. But we tell them what it is, and then I wanted to get to the format of what Nightlight is all about. They would click on and say, okay, what's going on at Nightlight? And typically we had we would have a prelude time at 7:30. We would start with blaring loud music. There were nights that I would even put earplugs in. It was so loud. But it was a club scene. We're Central Jersey. That's really what it was. All about. We initially started Nightlight upstairs in the main auditorium. Fortunately for us, Prince Alliance Church was a rented facility, a converted office building, and so it didn't really look like a church, but we knew that we eventually needed to get this thing downstairs, so we rented out the bottom of the building and converted it into like a club. So you walked in, it was everything was black and dark. would have loud music that was playing. There were video screens and monitors all over the place. At quarter of, we'd do some video clips and cartoons and movie clips and stuff like that. And then at right at 8 o'clock, we'd have an announcer get up with our nightlight band. We do announcements, and we're going to show you how we did those. We did it kind of like a Conan and Brian approach, a late-night show, or kind of like the Johnny Carson type of thing. We would have special features. We had a band. We went out to clubs and led a few of them to the Lord. Musicians attract musicians, so that was good for us. And some of them we kind of finagled from other places to come over and help us. Studio level musicians that could play anything off the radio in a week's turnaround. And they played a lot of music as hooks. Our second set typically was we'd have a local guest band, sometimes national bands, but I'll tell you more about that later, but we found the local bands work better. But they'd come and they'd have a 12 to 18 minute block that they could play their music. We would stop them before the last song, give them a little interview. Jigs would go ask them a staple question, which basically you'd say, you know, what's the message you got going out to the kids? And they'd have about 30 seconds to a minute to kind of say who they're about. That would move us towards really the whole reason that we were doing Nightlight. To our, we'd have an interview, but our third set we would have an interactive dialogue, which is something that we developed, which was kind of like a modified open mic. You could never do this with boomers. I mean, they want to hide. They don't want to be known. Extras want the mic. They want to say something because no one ever listens to them. So we would have a theme that would run throughout the whole night. One example, one of the themes we had was Human Wreckage. It came from a song that was the number one song on the radio at that time. It was by Sponge. It was called Plowed. And there was a line in there, in a world of human wreckage. And so we started opening up by saying, you know, what does it really mean to be human? What does it mean to have your life wrecked? You know, what is human wreckage? What does that mean? And we would move them through an interaction, and then we'd give them a quick soundbite type of deal where we would, our messages at the longest length would be about 7 minutes. And that would be 2 minutes of doing a connector with media or what's out in the press, 2 minutes of moving us into a prayer, a 2 minute prayer, and then a close up. And we found that really life change took place in small groups and afterwards. And then we'd have the band would close out. So it gave people just an opportunity to kind of look at the things that were going on. We developed a lot of features at Nightlight. I just was mentioning to you about the interactive dialogue. So all these things are hyperlinks so that you can click onto it and it'll take you to another part of the website that tells you about the interactive dialogue or the band. You know, and every person that's involved in Nightlight would have their own web page that would come off of it. And it's like that onion principle. They want more and more layers. Now, why would that be attractive to an Xer? Well, they've played games like Doom, Myst, years ago it would have been Donkey Kong, but then it's that, what's that little obnoxious plumber dude, Mario Brothers type of thing? You know, you go to the next level and to the next level and to the next level. So that's the way that we designed our website, that it just was like an infinite layer of the onion, that you could go further and further and further. And so like when you go to the ministry team, you got your ministry team, and then under each person on the team, they would have their own website they would go on. This is Jigs's page because he was a local legend. He had a lot of characters that were done, and you could just go further and further down with him. And we all would have our own websites that would tell people basically who we are, what we liked, our favorite stuff, movies, sports, journeys, education. It was just designed to the way that you were. I mean, we have our youth pastor's page look radically different than any of our pages. And, you know, that's him and his wife, the things that he liked, disliked. They all got to design their own page of the things that they wanted and the things that they were into. We gave them also, if I can get back to this, there's a place for a calendar of the updates and information that were going on. I'll tell you more about how you can do that. We also had a thing that looked at the place. We gave maps. The thing that was key about this is that this was designed and put together all by Xers. They were the ones that were doing it. And we've had a lot of interaction with record companies Christian record companies, and I know that that Sparrow Records asked if they could use this design for all their new artists. They thought that, you know, when we put it together, they hadn't seen anything like it. So that's our website, and if you get on the internet, you will be able to find a lot of them. Grad Zero will have theirs. Christopher Say down in Waco, Texas, is having his up and running. Willow Access Ministry has theirs going. But you need to think strategically. You know, we could have sunk our money into local access cable, but we said, you know what? No one's going to get to it. Let's do it here. And it was right to the point before I left where we had the capability. They've held back because they don't have the leadership to make it happen, but where we would go a live video feed over the web, which is just awesome. You know, I mean, that people could be watching Nightlight over the web as it goes on. Let me just pause for a second, see if there's any questions before I give you a comment or two to close out this session. Are there any questions you have, anything that you've seen in session two, or something that you disagree about, or something that you're wondering if we're going to get to? Anyone? Oh, we got a couple. Okay, there's a mic there that's on. Why don't you just take that? That way they can hear it.
This is Ron Hutchcraft's 12 things that define Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
Number six was no boundaries, and number seven was one authority.
Mm-hmm.
To a boomer, that sounds contradictory.
Oh, absolutely. Great point. In Hutchcraft's book, he's got those 12 sentences. The one is no boundaries, and one is authority, and they sound like a contradiction. Well, this is a generation of contradiction. Remember I said that the postmodern strand is not just purely a Western postmodern strand, but it's a very Eastern strand. You know, they're very New Age about them. They're very interested in Eastern religions and Hinduism and stuff like that. That is not a contradiction over there. It can be both and for them. All right. For us, it has to be either or. That is a Western distinction, that it's either this or that. For them, no, it can be both and. It can be, Dieter does this really well, but, you know, the classic Gen X movement is like this. It's like, come closer, but keep away. Come closer, but keep away. Come closer. Yeah, I want you to get close, but don't get too close. You know, and this is really, I've worked hard at this, you could tell, right? I mean, this is their movement, all right? And so things that might seem like an apparent contradiction to us, they, you know, even in the fact that they're into authority, authority is good, long as it's not going to put boundaries that really violate who I am and the way that I think, you know. So you have to do it in a process and in relationship. I mean, there's no way, anyone that's been involved in youth ministry has done their sex talks to their single ministry groups or their youth ministry groups, and you give all the reasons, and, you know, and years ago we used to give all the negative reasons, you know, that you're going to get AIDS, and you're going to get this and get that. And then we made the shift, well, hang on, we better not just give negatives. Let's give some positive reasons that you shouldn't have sex because of the Hebrew term virgin and all that meant, and a precious gift and all that kind of stuff. So the positive slant, neither of those things work. I mean, you're going to have to show them in their existence the reason that it doesn't work on a relational basis, which seems very contradictory. We have one more question over here before we go to a break. Let me grab this mic and hand it on over. I think it's live.
I guess what I was asking was your Nightlight, it's more of like a sensory experience than a participatory experience, like, mm-hmm. except for the question-answer time. Is that right? It's like a service, but they're not really singing along in the service or anything. It's kind of a sensory experience.
That's a great question. The question is it a sensory experience versus participation? To them, they are participating, okay? They're participating the way that they participate, you know? They're participating by watching the video and not getting up and walking out. They're singing along to the songs that are being sung just like they would if they went to a concert, right? That's the way that they're going to do it. But to do a formal worship and hymn time, no. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the next couple of sessions because I've done probably all different levels of those services, from, you know, what we think is traditional to something contemporary to something that's in between. But what we were doing there, no. there are a lot of groups that are trying to kind of have that middle ground, that are really taking their Gen X thing and their youth ministries and kind of bringing those together. And those things, we helped a guy down in South Jersey who's doing one of those. There is a lot more singing. There would be a formal singing time. You go to Willow Creek's Gen X Ministry Axis, where Dieter's doing it, and they would sing a song. we chose not to do that at Nightlight for a number of reasons. All right, we're going to go to an 8-minute break, if you can be back in 8 minutes. And actually, we're going to look at a whole bunch of video clips the next session. I'm going to walk you right through a Nightlight and so you can visually see it. All right?